You know, Brittany, nothing gives me naked confidence like hitting the gym first thing in the morning. The rush, the endorphins, it just sets the tone for the entire day.
Ooh, I like that. Naked confidence.
Yeah.
It's all about the perfect playlist for me. The right music can uplift my mood instantly.
You know what a close second is for me?
What's that?
Not stinking. That's why I use Lumi Whole Body Deodorant. It's like a secret weapon against odor, powered by mandelic acid.
Yeah, you're odor-free for up to 72 hours. I love how Lumi tackles every odor concern with natural ingredients, and I appreciate its versatility. I've tried it everywhere, from pits to feet. It never disappoints. Plus, it's baking soda-free and pH balanced for safe use.
And the fact that it's clinically proven to block odor all day, well, that's a game changer.
Definitely. And with Lumi Starter Pack, new customers can get $5 off with code TLC at LumiDeodorant.com. It's a great deal for a fresh start.
Don't miss out on feeling confident everywhere you go. Visit LumiDeodorant.com and use code TLC for a special discount.
That's LumiDeodorant.com. Cheers to confidence with Lumi.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Life is tough right now, and the fact that you and your partner are trying to navigate a world that is completely upside down together, throw kids inside that, it's tough, guys. It's tough.
You're listening to the Laughing Couple podcast with your hosts, Brittany and Ryan Ostafy. Join them weekly as they discuss topics such as relationships, kids, sex, parenting, all unfiltered and all with a healthy dose of laughter. Please welcome your hosts, Brittany and Ryan Ostafy.
I want to start out with some New Year's resolutions. And we've also been home, so if you have any, I love your and you're annoying, but let's start out with, do you have any resolutions? Because we haven't actually talked about this. Maybe not resolutions, maybe things that you want to do this year. Any goals?
This is something I wish we would have planned for. Well, I'm totally unprepared for this conversation.
So, but I kind of wanted it that way. Like, what's one of the first things that pop in your brain that you want to accomplish this year?
Well, I feel like for the last 3 years, post-COVID, we've been hyper-focused on business. We've been hyper-focused on opportunities. And to be quite frank, a lot of that has to do with financial situations, right? We've worked really hard to increase our financial situation.
Mm-hmm.
This year, I feel like we've done a really good job in the last 3 years of doing that. This year, to continue down that pattern, we're going to do what we need to do. But this year, more so than any other year, I'm going to focus more on my physical and mental health.
Mm. How so? What are you going to do?
Well, as you know, I'm going to be getting into like this little biohacking kind of world.
What? What do you mean biohacking? Well,
as you know, I'm turning 40 this year, which is a big year for me.
I love how you're dropping this huge bomb. I'm like, give me like a general resolution. And you're like, well, I'm into biohacking. In 2024.
It's my year. It's my year to hack the bio.
Okay. You mean like, what is biohacking? Like of your body, like biological hacking?
Well, this is the year for me to start to discover. Cause like, this is going to sound super weird perhaps, but
it already does.
I'm turning 40 this year.
I know.
Which means I have to start thinking about being 80.
Okay. That's a jump.
No, it is, because all the years that have led to this, I've had to worry about my current state.
Okay.
The decisions I'm going to make now are going to affect me down the road.
Yeah.
If I don't do things differently, or if I don't start looking at how do I prolong life? How do I prolong muscle? How do I prolong testosterone? How do I prolong health?
Mm-hmm.
If I don't take care of it now, I'll just put it to you this way. Life isn't going to get physically easier for me mm-hmm. moving forward.
Okay.
So if I don't do the right things now at 40,
right,
it's going to affect me big time at 80.
So what you're saying is this is the year of Benjamin Button.
This is the year where I reverse aging.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Biohacking. I'm going to start looking into
it. It's the year of BB.
Yeah. And like full disclosure, I've been doing a lot of research as of late. And I'm not like people are like, oh, maybe Ryan's hitting his midlife crisis. Maybe I am. It doesn't feel like a crisis. It feels like I'm in control. It feels like I'm in control. A midlife crisis to me is decisions that are made that are out of control.
For sure.
Whereas I look at this year and I say, okay, like, been going to the gym. I've been taking supplements. You know, we just picked up that steam sauna.
That's so good.
Which is phenomenal.
Are you going to ice bath? Because it came with an ice bath.
I'm going to ice bath.
Are you really?
I'm going to ice bath. I'm going to steam sauna. I'm just going to start doing things that you know, very intelligent people are telling us to do.
Mm, where are you going to put the ice bath?
In the garage. Or in the backyard. Who knows? It's a good spot for it is the backyard because it's cold.
Do they say like steam shower or hot tub? Sorry, steam room, hot tub, and then ice bath? Or do they say like cold first and then hot?
Well, there's a lot of different theories out there, but the reality of it is if you're doing any of them, you're going to win.
Okay. So yeah, your health. Okay.
My health. I'm going to take care of my health. We've got a lot of things this year. I was just talking to someone this morning about it. I don't know about you, but I have every single weekend until the end of April already accounted for.
Wow.
Every single weekend. There's not a single weekend that doesn't have something planned until the end of April. That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, I know I'm part of that schedule.
Yeah, I know. But like, think about the amount of travel that we have to do first quarter of the year. Right. Nice. Vegas, Florida, Vancouver. I'm looking at going to Shanghai.
What?
Shanghai Noon. Yeah, it's there's an event that's coming up and it's the
Vancouver,
yeah.
I love how I'm just hearing about this now.
Anyways, it doesn't really matter. Travel's going to be high this year. Work travel's going to be high this year. I would like to really spend some quality time with you this year. I know. Why are you laughing?
Because I just don't know when you're going to have time to do any of this.
This is my whole thing. We have to unfold that.
Biohacking. Making more time.
But the reality of it is if I don't take care of my health, all of this travel is not going to be easy on my body.
No, it's not. And everyone's sick right now.
And we'll talk about that.
God.
We'll talk about that. Well, what's your big goal this year? What's your big resolution? I don't think those are resolutions. I'm not a big resolution guy.
No, that's why I didn't word it like that.
Yeah.
Like,
well, you did. You asked about my New Year's resolution. No,
and then
was.
I said not necessarily a resolution, but something that you're wanting to do. Or like,
do you have a photo of what your resolution is?
No.
Oh,
I think that I had, this is something that I wanted to talk to you about because it kind of relates.
Okay.
I don't think I have any resolutions, but I am going to try to remove some negative thoughts regarding some situations happened in 2023 and try not to bring them in 2024. Like, it's really heavy holding on to things that you can't change. So part of me is trying to leave that over here and be comfortable with it. And then kind of like you, not as intense as biohacking. But I want to get into yoga. I feel like I'm so sore all the time and I just want like more mobility. So I'm going to try to do a couple yoga classes just here, like in the morning. I'm not 40 yet, so I don't have to like go crazy on the athletic stuff, but I do. I'd like to be a little bit more active, I would say. But yeah, mine's more of a mental game.
I think the hardest thing for you is, and I don't mean this rudely, is consistency.
Really setting this up powerfully.
Is consistency. Right. That's the one thing that I would say, because you will go on like these little like health kicks that will last a very short period of time. And then the kids get in the way. One kid gets sick. You get sick. You didn't get a lot of sleep. There's just a million reasons why we stop routines. Mm-hmm. And I find that especially with health, with respect to yourself, physical health, you know, resistance training or walking or running or, you know, in this case, yoga, I find that things pull you away from that. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to work really hard this year on supporting you, in doing those things.
That's great. But that might look like we have to alternate morning workouts.
You want to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning?
No, I didn't say five o'clock. Yeah. I said you might have to work out later in the day if I work out
at 5 o'clock time. In the morning.
Not at 5 o'clock. I don't work out at 5 o'clock.
So then what do we have to worry about?
Because if you're going to the gym at 5:15 and then you don't come back till whatever, like whatever time.
Seven.
Yeah. Then I will work out and you're going to have to watch the kids and get them ready.
I'm going to support this journey a little bit more effectively than I have in years past.
Okay. So I read this quote and I really, really liked it. Okay. Ready? Manipulation is when they focus on how you reacted instead of how they treated you. that really like stuck with me, because I was like, it's like a form of gaslighting essentially, but it really is a powerful thing to think about, because we've talked about this before, but sometimes like I get flustered in a conversation, even if it's with you, and I need a moment to like collect my words so that I can come back clear-headed and articulate what I'm actually trying to say and think. But I really liked this one because that can relate to so many things, separate instances in the past where I'm like, you know what? That is so true. Like, I'm not going to be shamed or quieted because of like how I'm reacting to what you did. And then
why me?
No, I'm not saying you about like in general. No, not you. I just mean like in general.
You pointed at me.
I didn't mean you.
Yeah. Jump on YouTube to see the point of the century.
And then listen to this one. I don't know who needs to hear this, but you don't always have to tell your side of the story. I'm Will.
So here's the thing about not telling. Here's the thing about not telling your side of the story, because as you know, I am somebody who typically does not share my side of the story. I'm someone who typically recognizes, hey, listen, that's their perspective. Yeah. They're entitled to their perspective. That's not my perspective, but I don't need to validate my perspective. So I'm just going to stay quiet. Mm-hmm. As someone who does that, I will say, it doesn't always serve you to not say something.
And I've told you that multiple times. Like, there's enough time where you're like, you know what? Fuck this. Like, it's time. It's time for me to share. And I think that's more just like, you don't always have to do it right away. Like, you can let some time pass. Again, maybe gather your thoughts, maybe have the universe and the world kind of step in and show what the situation has to show. Maybe that looks like showing a person's true colors to other people. Who knows? But I do think there's something to be said about sharing your truth.
You know, I've had a lot of examples in my life, not just with me personally, but just outside of my person, like outside of me, where you think, you know, karma's going to get that person.
Yeah.
And they don't.
You're like,
and karma just doesn't.
What the fuck, karma? Like, you're a little
karma
late.
Just doesn't get them. Yeah, and you're like, and you think to yourself.
That you know of, at least.
Yeah, true. But like, what we're talking years and years and years of karma just not coming around. And you think to yourself, well, do I want that person to be punished? No. What I want is that person trashed my name. Mm-hmm. That person said some really terrible things about me or about someone that I know that is wildly not true.
Yeah. But that's what I feel like when you say, like, you know, I don't always need to tell my truth, because for me, you know, the whole saying like silence is meaning that you're guilty. Right. And I'm like, that like drives me insane, because if somebody and both sides are true, like some people are in the belief of like, if it's not true, then I don't need to defend myself because it's simply not true. Where I'm like, if it's not true, I will violently defend myself, because that makes me so angry. When somebody says something about me or says that I've done something that just simply is not true, I will like go to bat for that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you're defending your integrity. You're defending you.
This podcast is so ominous as well. Like, we're talking about all these like situations, but we'll never be able to share them.
Well, no, it's just like, no, and we're not. Like, I'm not that type of person that's going to use this platform to expose people. That's not my shtick. It's not my thing.
Well, it's not our thing.
It's not our thing.
Into that either.
Yeah.
Only our true friends know what we're talking
about.
But
I will say, like, I've always looked at this and said, like, if somebody knows me, like at my core knows me, and they hear something about me, they'll know I didn't do it.
Right.
They'll know I didn't do it.
Your people know you.
And anybody who doesn't know me, that hears a story about me and assumes it's true, they don't know me. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason that they don't know me. I haven't given them that space for them to know who I am. And so do I have to defend myself and tell that person who doesn't know me, I'm not that person. I promise you, I'm not that person. Or do I just focus my effort on the people who actually know me?
Yeah.
Because there's been many situations in my life. I will say there was a situation, and I was so happy about it. And I'll share it on this. One of our friends, Adam, didn't know me very well and heard something about me. Mm-hmm. And rather than hearing it, assuming it was me and living his life as if I was that person, he called me out on it.
like painting you in this light and just like saying that's who he is.
Yeah. He said he heard this story about this is how I said something, blah, 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 blah.
This was a couple of years ago.
This was a couple of years ago. And he called me out on it in a car. And he said, hey, listen, like I heard that you did this. And I cannot tell you how grateful I was that he called me out on it. Because because he gave me the opportunity to defend myself.
And he gave me the space.
Yeah. He gave me the space. He gave me the opportunity to be like, I never said that.
Yeah.
But so many people don't. They just make the assumption that that is who you are. And he could have lived the last 2 years thinking that I was a total asshole and just assumed I was an asshole. But he gave me the space to defend myself. Mm-hmm. Had he thought that and not given me the space, I would have let him sit in it. Mm-hmm. Like you think that that's who I am? Then go ahead and think that's who I am. Mm-hmm. But it truly was a gift. And so I will say this, if you hear something about someone and you think, you know, that doesn't sound like them, give that person the opportunity to talk about
Have
it. Because if they're like me, they're not going to bring it up.
I also think it says something about the friendship. Like if you truly care about somebody and you heard something that maybe like to me that for me says that he was like, you know what? Something's not sitting right here. Like, I don't know him very well. Like talking about you, but like, there's a question there. So that says something about your friendship or potential friendship. So if you care about somebody and you hear something negative about them and you want to kind of figure out if it's true or not, like, please like be in a place of discovery and go ask.
Yeah.
Cause it can solve things. Anyways, we are getting,
I could use a little more Brittany in me than, actually I'd be the more Ryan and Brittany, but anyways, I could use a little more Brittany in me. Like I could defend myself a little bit more.
Hey, Ryan.
Yes?
You stink.
Okay.
I stink too. Don't worry. Everyone actually stinks. And it's normal to have body odor, just in case you needed a reminder.
Okay. Thank you for that. But the best part is you don't have to stink. Just try Lumi whole body deodorant.
You're right. And Lumi's powered by mandelic acid, tackling odor for 72 hours from pits to feet, even private areas.
It's incredible. Over 300,000 five-star reviews, and you can literally use it everywhere.
And the scents like clean tangerine, lavender sage, or my personal favorite, toasted coconut, make it refreshing.
Plus, new customers get 15% off all Lumi products with code TLC at LumiDeodorant.com.
And if you combine the 15% off with the already discounted starter pack, that's over 40% off.
Stay confident from head to toe with Lumi.
Try it with code TLC at LumiDeodorant.com.
That's code TLC at LumiDeodorant.com. Stay fresh, everyone.
Guys, have you tried the new wellness shots from Good Vibes Juice?
We have, and they're amazing. Perfect for boosting immunity and feeling great.
Good Vibes Juice makes all-natural wellness shots with ingredients that support your immune system.
And they honestly taste good. Plus, they're great to have before you feel sick or even to help you recover faster.
It's like having Granny's homemade remedy, but conveniently pre-made.
They have three different shots to choose from: Sick Day, Get Well, and Turmeric Daily. The Sick Day shot has echinacea and ginger, known for fighting off colds and boosting immunity.
The Get Well shots feature elderberry, a superfood ingredient that helps increase immunity, and the Turmeric Daily has turmeric and chamomile. My personal favorite is the Turmeric Daily. It has turmeric and chamomile, which for me, having recently turned 40, is great for anti-inflammatory and calming properties.
What's great is that these shots are all natural with no preservatives or additives. You can take them as a shot or mix them with hot water for a soothing tea.
And here's the best part. Visit goodvibes.juice.com and use promo code TLC to get free shipping and 20% off your first order.
That's www.goodvibesjuice.com with promo code TLC. Let's boost our immunity and feel great with Good Vibes Juice.
There are rumors that are out there. There are things that are out there. There is a narrative out there that I'm a bad guy.
What?
There is. There's multiple narratives. You know how many people out there?
What are you talking about?
There is. Do you know how many people that are out there that don't particularly care for me have a narrative about me? And they share that
like
narrative.
Like strangers? Or like
strangers,
people we know?
People we know. Like think about every relationship that we've had in the last 2 years that we don't have anymore.
Okay. I can say the same thing.
But think about every relationship that we had in the last 2 years that is no longer a relationship that we have.
Yeah.
There is a narrative out there that's not positive for me.
It Yeah, but it's probably just because you're my spouse. Because I am the person.
No. Jake knows what I'm talking about. There's a narrative. There are narratives out there that exist in the world.
Maybe
that Ryan Ostafy is not a good guy. Mm-hmm. And I'm here to tell you that those narratives are not correct.
Yes. So you mean you want a little bit more of somebody who will stand up and be like, fuck that. That's what you're saying about me.
There's a part of me that thinks that I could lean in a little bit and be like, the fuck, I did that. No, I didn't.
You know what? I really appreciate you saying that, because I will say that never used to be me. Like I absolutely like backed away from conflict. It made me super uncomfortable and it still does. But there's a certain point where I have to set my foot down and I'm like, there's absolutely no way that I'm allowing this to happen. And that took me a long time to get there, because I was not always like that. So I appreciate that. Yeah, I don't know if that meant as a compliment, but thank you so much.
100% meant that as a compliment. But here's the thing, and this is what I've always kind of leaned into. It's not being the bigger person. It's moving on in a direction that is not negative. Mm-hmm. And that's what it really is, because I find that when you sit in the negative, you become part of that story. You become part of that narrative. Mm-hmm. Where there's so many other things that you could be focusing your time, energy, and effort on. And yeah. I've always just been like, listen, if they want to live in a world where I'm there, where I'm the bad guy in their story, and they want to share that story with other people, yeah. I'm going to be over here focused on other things.
And I agree with you with that. Like, there's a part of, like, you have to say, like, sometimes you are the villain in people's story, and like, you just have to let it happen. If I need to be the villain in your story to make yourself feel better or do whatever you need to do, then I'll be that person, because we're clearly not meant to be on the same path in each other's lives, whatever that looks like. But you sometimes are the villain in other people's stories.
Yeah. And there's got to be this fine balance. And I've always just taken the far right or far left, whatever side you want to go towards. I've always taken that. I've just completely eliminated myself from the narrative altogether. And to your point, sometimes silence does indicate guilt, and that's not true.
Correct.
And that's not true. So there is a part of me, I think, that in 2024, I'm going to be like, fuck that story.
Mm. And where I'm like, I think I'm going to reel it in. And I think I'm just going to be like, peace and love.
I'm going to do yoga.
I did. I was like, I'm going to be more like Ryan. Okay.
And so I'm going to bring the weapons of mass destruction. You know, destroy Superman. It's all
about balance.
Yeah. You know? Destroy Superman. I'm going to biohack and destroy this year.
Okay. I came across this post.
That was a cough.
I came across this post. But do you want to do I Love You and You're Annoying? You want to just move on? Okay.
No. You know what, Brittany? We just finished Christmas. We just finished New Year's. We have been through the ringers in terms of Riley's sick, illness. You're sick, Coop's sick, I'm sick, been hospitalized twice in the last 2 weeks. I'm just so proud that we're here. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just so proud of us. We made it through this. Were there things that annoyed me over the last 2 weeks? Yeah. Because we weren't at our best.
I thought you were going to be like, and here they are.
No, because we weren't at our best. Yes. But the fact that we are here today, we're laughing, we're joking, we're in good spirits, we're thinking about what we're going to do and accomplish in 2024. Like, I'm just really proud of us.
You know what I'm going to put out there?
No.
I'm going to put it out there because I'm going to hold ourselves accountable. I, for a resolution, a goal for our podcast, I want to do a live show. A live podcast, an event.
4 years in the making.
I know, but I've never verbally said this, and I'm holding ourselves accountable for 2024. We need to make it happen. I think it would be super fun. It would be like a social, like you. I've been to a couple, and they're super fun.
Yeah, and some. I hate the term meet and greet because that sounds so. What's
pretentious?
The word? Pretentious. Yeah. Ew.
Yeah. I don't want to greet them.
Yeah. Meet and greet with Ryan and Brittany. That sounds so weird. But you know what I want to do? I want to hang out with the community a little this year.
I agree.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. So I saw this post and I think we should discuss it. Okay. It is couple therapists noticed 7 patterns in couples who quote unquote made it. And I'm going to tell you what they are. And I almost sent this to you and then I was like, no, save it for the pod. And we do all of them. So I was like... Also, we just celebrated 10 years and neither of us are itching. Or, I mean, 7 years. Yeah. Neither of us are itching because of the 7 years.
7 year anniversary. Happy anniversary, Brittany.
You know how many people forgot about our anniversary?
Not limited to our parents.
Yes. No, but you know what?
Not my parents. My parents called. You guys are, both of them called, FaceTimed
you
us.
You guys are such big You guys are such
I'm talking about your parents. Your parents specifically forgot about our anniversary, and we saw them on our anniversary.
But
we went to their house.
You guys are such anniversary people. Like, you make it a point to, like, call your parents on their anniversary. You're like, we'll be there for the anniversary. I'm like, for me, people's anniversary is for them. I don't need to call somebody and be like, happy anniversary. Like, I think that that's a personal thing. So I didn't actually care that my parents weren't like, happy anniversary. But you are like, your family is so like, you very, very much make it a big deal when it's your parents. And I love that.
My family tries to
I don't need to celebrate their anniversary.
My family tries to celebrate everything.
Yeah. It's cute. I like it. Okay. Yeah. But I want to go back to
We're that. A celebratory family.
Okay.
I love you, Dad.
Okay. So this is the first one. Okay. The first one is Daddy. They had boundaries with family. Would you like me to elaborate?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So the couple puts their relationship first and had clear boundaries with family. They didn't vent to them about issues or make decisions based on what their families wanted. They did what was best for their partnership together. This is huge. And we've talked about this so many times. It's so easy to vent to your mom or your dad or your uncle, whoever you're like super close with in your family, because typically those people will take your side unequivocally. Like, there will be so much loyalty there. It'll be like, well, yep, your partner did blah, blah, blah. And then what happens with that is that it builds up this like resentment of your partner, and then they don't get closure, but you do. Maybe you and your partner had a fight, right? And then you're bitching to your mom about the fight. And then you go back to your partner, you resolve it. But then your parent or your mom or whoever you were bitching to still sits in this like, what, like anger, and they don't have that closure. And that happens over and over and over again. And then it compounds and it's not healthy.
And they have a listening of your spouse that's right. Not positive.
No. And then you're like, you're wondering why your parents or whoever is like getting flustered or being like, why do you let him do this? Or why do you let her do like whatever it is? And then you're like, whoa, whoa, why are you so upset with them? And you defend them. But you are the one that created this cycle. It's so toxic.
This is one of the easiest mistakes couples make, is they go to their family members. Why their family members? Because it's the easiest people to go to. Mm-hmm. But you get in an echo chamber. Mm-hmm. And an echo chamber is when what you're saying is coming back to you. Back to you. So you just did. That was good. Oh, that was good, Brittany. Yeah. Now I lost my train of thought. No, but it's an echo chamber, and that's not where you want to be.
No,
but you do need to have someone that you can vent to. And so the venting session is very important, that when you're going to vent, you're going to say, hey, listen, I am venting. Mm-hmm. I'm in a happy relationship. My intention of this venting session is to not tell you how terrible my partner is, but to vent on what's going on. And I promise you that when I'm done venting, I will take the actions necessary to fix this situation, and I will come back to you and tell you what it is. But your parents are not the people to vent to your partner about. And no. I have been committed, and it's very difficult because I vent to my dad. My dad is my vented person.
Mm-hmm. And that's my mom.
Yeah. My dad is who I go to vent on life in general. And I have made it. I have made it a priority not to vent. Oh my. And I don't really vent about you to begin with to anybody except for Jake. Jake is my dad now. Hey, daddy.
Hey, daddy.
I don't vent about my partner in general. I try to work on my partnership with my partner. I try to work on my problems with you.
But that's why it's good to have like a friend. Like if we're ever in a fight.
I know, I need one.
No, if we're ever in a fight, usually I turn to DK, because DK knows you not outside of me, but is just as much a friend to you as she is to, oh, obviously
not
she's more
close.
To me, but anyways, she knows you. And
DK would literally bring the shovel if you told her that you killed me.
She would. But however, if I'm venting,
let's rip up this artificial grass. We're burying that fucker. That's what she'd say.
If I'm venting, she will be like, totally, like, that sucks so much. And then she will always, and I mean always, she's like, you know, Ryan loves you, or his intention wasn't like this. I get you're frustrated, but like, maybe you should do, like, she's very level-headed with that. And that's why I go to her, because it's not
a
bashing Ryan situation, because she knows how much you love me and how much I love you at the core of everything. So it's a safe space to vent. And I agree. You do need to be able to vent. Like, don't hold all of this in and just be like, everything's fine. But just make sure you have a person that you don't have to have that preliminary conversation with. Like, you shouldn't have to say, just so you know, I'm just venting. They're a good, like, if you're having to have that conversation, it's probably not the right person.
Yeah. But who definitely is not the right person to vent to when it comes to your partner is your sisters, your brothers, your parents. Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Okay.
They love you unconditionally, and they will fucking hate your partner if you tell them what they do wrong. And here's the thing, guys, and this is what we need to always remember. When you are living with somebody, you get the whole spectrum. Mm-hmm. You get their good days. You get their bad days. You get their amazing moments. You get their terrible moments. Mm-hmm. It is a blessing to have a relationship with somebody. And it's not always easy. Mm-hmm. And if you're only sharing the negative things with people, they don't get the full spectrum of who that person is for you.
Yeah. Okay.
But life is tough. Mortgage payments, bill payments, food payments. Like, life is tough right now. And the fact that you and your partner are trying to navigate a world that is completely upside down together, throw kids inside that, it's tough, guys. It's tough.
Shout out to Claritin for providing samples and sponsoring this episode. Full disclosure, I was listening to you talk the other day and I was thinking to myself, why does he sound that way? And then I remembered that it's allergy season and that's just your voice because you're so stuffed up.
Ah, yes, the old allergy congested accent. Luckily for those of us who live with symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Claritin D's fast symptom relief starts working on allergies with nasal congestion in as little as 30 minutes.
Oh, perfect. So I won't have to listen to you speak like this for the next few weeks.
What? You're not into it? It's not endearing?
No comment. Designed for serious allergy sufferers like Ryan.
Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieves your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so that you can breathe better.
Claritin D tackles nasal congestion caused by allergies or a cold and also relieves sinus congestion and pressure due to allergies.
Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear.
Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away.
So convenient. Just ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription.
Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear.
And remember, only use as directed.
Okay, another pattern. So 7 patterns in couples who made it. So
pattern number two.
Pattern number two. They were friends.
How much time do we have here?
They genuinely enjoyed spending time with each other. They were excited to come home and catch up after a long day. Friendship was the basis of their relationship, which I find is very much us. We like to have fun together.
Yeah, I would like if sex was the basis of our relationship, but friendship is number two for me. That's
not
good.
In here, so that's not couples who made it weren't having 7 times of sex.
You're telling me that not one of the top 7 is sex?
Can we just get to it and then okay. We can figure it out?
Okay. Friend.
Friends, I'm saying they also were friends. Like the basis of the relationship is friends.
Being an asshole. This is what we do. This is our shtick. You say something, I become an idiot.
Okay. So this is the third pattern. They had been through really dark times. And I at first was like, I don't know if that's true. But then I was like, it was.
COVID?
No, they had all been through really difficult periods where they were at a crossroads and had even had second thoughts. But they chose to stay together and work through it. This established trust.
Definitely us.
This establishes trust. And yeah. I was like, that makes more sense. Once I like elaborated on it, I was like, that's totally us with our whole like, oh, we're pregnant.
First 6 months of us living together was not good.
No, we almost ended it. Well, yeah. And then we were like, we are with child.
I sat down in front of you and said, I hate my life.
Yeah, you did. And I was pregnant as fuck. That was probably the meanest thing you've ever said.
It was the realest thing I've ever said.
And the meanest.
Yeah.
Probably shouldn't say that to your pregnant girlfriend. I hate my life right now.
Both can be true.
Okay.
Thank you for allowing me the space to say that.
I didn't allow that.
I know.
That wasn't allowed. You just said it. I know. Okay. They let each other. Oh, what are we on? 4?
Yeah.
The fourth pattern. They let each other be themselves. There was a base level of respect and admiration for each other rather than a desire to change each other. This freedom brought out the best parts of each of them.
You know what, Brittany? I will say one of the best things about you is that I get to be me around you. And I mean that wholeheartedly. I dated this girl one time and I remember she came over to my house. We had dinner with my parents.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And my parents, when she left, my parents were like, who were you? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, my dad's like, that wasn't you. Mm. The whole time I was being a version of me that I thought she needed me to be, as opposed to just being me. And but I
do
think,
you think part of that is like, you were super young too. Like it was,
I wasn't super young.
Yeah, you were. How old were you?
I was 25.
Really?
Yes.
I thought we were together when,
we were fornicating.
I was 25.
Yeah, we were fornicating when we were, yeah, anyways. But no, yeah. Are you trying to figure out
a crossover? Yeah, I am.
But I think going back to they are friends.
Yeah.
Yours and my relationship, foundationally speaking, was based on a friendship.
For sure.
100%. You came to me whenever things weren't working in your relationships. And we talked and we hung out. We went to movies together. We went for dinner together. We weren't dating.
My boobs.
You did. Yeah. 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 That's a great friendship. But
you're right. Yeah. We did hang out.
But I never had to change who I was because we started off as friends.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, definitely let each other be themselves. I think that's a huge part. Like, I never feel uncomfortable in my own skin whenever I'm with you. I feel like I am like, applauded for it.
You know what? Like, here's the best part. There are some times when you'll do something that's absolutely so stupid. And I look at you and I'm like, my God, why do we do this? Like, I'll be walking.
I thought this was going to be a compliment.
No, it is a compliment. It is a compliment.
I'm like, what is this turning into? But
I'll look at you or you'll look at me after and I'm like, why did I just do that? Mm. Or why did you just do that? And it's because we can.
Mm. Mm. I see what you're saying. Like, maybe like the intrusive thoughts took over and you just did something like super fucking weird.
Yeah. Like when you'll be like out of nowhere and you're just like move your jaw and just like, I'm like, yeah. I'm like, why are you doing that? Because
yeah,
you can.
Because yeah.
This is a safe space.
Okay. Pattern number 5. They had difficult conversations. They communicated regularly and were open to each other's perspectives. They didn't cope by avoiding or denying. Emotional regulation was present, so conversations rarely became explosions. And this is something that we've definitely had to work on.
This is the I love you and you're annoying.
This hasn't always been how we are. We've really had to work on that. And that comes through the check-ins and that comes through all of the emotional growth that we've done as a couple. But it's definitely like a core value in our relationship.
We have the year-end conversation coming up.
Mm-hmm. We do have to. Yeah, we're going to put that. We were trying to book this year-end check-in. Like, it's a big one. But we were like, we want to make it big. We want to like rent a hotel room.
We want to rent a hotel room.
Book. What's the word?
Yeah.
Book. Rent a hotel. Book. Is it book a hotel? Yeah, it is. That sounds super weird. Yeah.
I'm going to rent a hotel room.
No, but we do want to get a room and we want to be able to enjoy yourself because it's a really heavy conversation and it lasts a few hours. But then we want to be able to also like have time together. So I think it's a really good opportunity to do both.
Yeah. For those of you who've been listening for the last 4 years, we do quarterly check-ins. But at the end of each year, we do yearly check-ins, which we complete 2023 and we create or co-create 2024. Mm-hmm. Historically, we've always done that at our kitchen table. And it is what it is. But this year and moving forward, we saw this on Instagram. Mm-hmm. That couple does the same thing that we do, but it's structurally different.
But they have like a big whiteboard and they write. And I love that idea because I write everything out and I'm such a visual person that I would love to see like the year in like big bubble letters.
But they make it a whole night. They go out for dinner. Yes. They rent an entire hotel room.
Fuck you.
And they make it an entire night. So we're going to be doing that in the coming weeks. Mm-hmm. And we will then obviously not be sharing our year end, but we will do a year end recap. For those of you who don't know how that structure works, we will be providing that insight in the coming episode.
Correct.
Coming episodes. In an episode coming up.
Sure. Okay. The 6th pattern. They fought. They got on each other's nerves, they fought, and were frustrated with each other at times, but they knew how to navigate conflict, bounce back, and move forward. This is something that we've also talked about because I remember you told me you didn't really date this girl, but you went on a date with her, and she was so passive in something as simple as like winning, I think you guys were playing cards. Anyways,
crazy eight countdown is what it was.
But we're not, we are not the type, and some people are okay with this. And this isn't saying that like our way is the right way. I could personally just never be with somebody who was agreeable to everything that I said. Like, I want a little bit of a challenge. I think those challenges in the conversations provide further discussions. It lets you guys like get to know each other more and it challenges you. I feel like some people might want someone who's just like gentle and passive. That has never been me. That's never been you. And I think fighting in like fighting is the small, it's not like they don't crazy fight all the time. Like, I don't think that that's what this is saying. I think that it's just having a partner who has their own opinions that can challenge yours sometimes. I think that's very healthy.
It's beyond healthy as far as I'm concerned. Couples who do not argue, couples who do not fight, couples who do not get into arguments and disagreements, I think they're setting themselves up for a compounded argument that they don't know how to recover from.
Or they don't hang out with each other.
And
enough.
I think they're actually setting their children up as well.
Yeah.
Your children need to hear you guys disagree with certain things. But more importantly, they need to see how you navigate a disagreement and how you come to the other side of it. Our kids fight with each other all the time. Sometimes we intervene, but most times we let them figure it out. They need to learn how to argue. Arguments are healthy because it does tell that other person that, hey, I'm confident enough to speak my opinion. I don't think this is right.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Okay, this is the last one. They made light of each other's quirks. They appreciated and acknowledged the quirks in each other. Even if they were at times annoying, they made light of them and were never hypercritical, which I think goes back to the like allowing yourself to be like goofy
be you.
With each other.
You be you, B.
Thanks. Yeah. This also was from Lewis House. I don't know. He's on Instagram. I just wanted to give a shout out because, oh, he's got 3.2 million followers.
You don't know who he is?
No, he has a podcast. I have no idea who he is.
He's got one of the most popular podcasts in the world.
Yeah, greatness.
The School of Greatness.
Yeah, I've never heard of him. He sounds great.
He's been running that podcast for over 10 years.
He just got engaged. He sounds great and very smart.
He's phenomenal.
Anyways, these were accumulated from couples. Like this wasn't his necessarily. I think this was like research that he's done. So I just wanted to.
Well, Brittany, that was very valuable.
Thanks. I'm so glad that I was prepared for this podcast.
Yeah. I'm that was very valuable.
Anyways, we hope you guys start.
I think that number eight should be sex.
Okay.
Like a couple who doesn't have sex, how is that a strong relationship?
I think this is more the couples who made it. I think this is more fun, like foundationally what they found. I think sex is a whole other topic.
You know, here's what I'm going to say about sex.
Listen here, Lewis House.
I don't necessarily think that sex is because, you know, people always say, well, what's the healthy amount of sex per week or per month or per year or whatever the case may be. You know what I think? And I hope that someone leans into this a little bit. Maybe we will. Huh, who knows? You know what I think sex is? I think sex needs to be exploratory.
Mm.
And I don't think it's necessarily the quantity of sex that you have, but the willingness to experience and to be self-expressed in sex.
Mm.
So many couples have sex that is unfulfilling.
I agree. And I think it kind of comes back to that saying about how to keep things exciting in your relationship, you have to make sure that you're creating new. And what I mean by this is like you experience things with your partner for the first time when you first get together and it's exciting and it's new, like your first date, your first vacation, your first whatever. You need to continue those firsts. So I think that this can be applied to sex as well. Like, I knew you were going to fucking say anal. I'm not talking about anal. I'm talking just about experiencing new things sexually. And that might just be like, maybe you're going to put it as simple as doing it not in the bedroom or like experiencing new fantasies or whatever it is. You do have to continue to keep it new and fresh and not always, but be open to those. Otherwise, you're right. It becomes stagnant. It becomes comfortable in a place that's like not the good side of comfort.
Yeah. And I would say, and I'm going to speak not in what's the word I'm looking for? Not in absolutes. I'm going to speak in like normal, not normal.
Just
typical,
speak, maybe.
Typical, what?
Just speak.
Yeah. Typical heterosexual relationships. If you do the data, you do the research, you'll find that this is more often the case than not the case. Okay. Let's just put it that way.
Okay.
I find that more often than not, women are the ones that are unfulfilled in the bedroom because society has put them in a position that this is what sex is supposed to be, and this is how you're supposed to have it. This is how you're supposed to experience it. And anything outside of this box is considered taboo.
Mm.
And I believe there are a lot of women in this world that live just outside the box of this is what you're supposed to do, just inside the box of what's considered taboo, and they don't get to experience it. They don't get to live it out. They don't feel comfortable talking about it. And here's the problem that I think happens more often than not. Ego gets in the way. And what women do is they try to shelter or protect their spouses, their male spouses, from having their egos bruised.
Yeah.
Right. And so they withhold their needs, wants, desires. They withhold their full self-expression, and they withhold their ability to discover just outside the box, because they're afraid that if they say something to their partner's fragile egos will get shattered and they will make it about them not performing properly.
Yeah.
Those aren't true. You can have great sex with your partner and want to experience something slightly different than what you're currently doing. That doesn't mean the sex you're having with your partner is wrong or not good. It just means it could be something slightly different. Mm-hmm. It doesn't say anything about your partner. It says more about the discovery of what it is that you're into or might potentially be into. And I think that more and more partners should be leaning into that conversation. So I think it should be number eight.
Lewis Howes, number eight.
Number eight, sex.
Sex.
And the communication around sex.
Perfect.
All right.
Happy 2024.
Happy 2024.
Go get him.
Tiger.
Hey everyone,
I'm Emily Beerley,
and I'm Jennifer Chaikin,
and we're licensed marriage and family therapists,
owners of The Therapy Group,
and hosts of the Shrink Chicks podcast.
Every week, we bring you a new episode where we dive into therapeutic topics like inner child work, dating anxiety, family dynamics, relationships, and burnout,
making them more relatable and understandable, leaving the psychobabble behind.
We address the things you've been dying to ask your therapist but don't know how,
and work to help you stop shooting all over yourself with the expectations society can put on us.
Tune in every Monday to Shrink Chicks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Be sure to follow along and subscribe so you don't miss an episode.
Prepare to learn all about you, because in order to grow yourself, you got to know yourself.